The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Chris Martinson here of Peak Prosperity. We got a really incredible episode today. It's around digital security, or should I say insecurity. I have to confess, I'm a little bit of a privacy nut for myself, and I don't like being the product. And maybe you don't like that either, right? Who likes being the product where, you know, you're Googling for something or you say something nearby a friend and next thing you know, there's an ad for it on your phone. Here's the deal. If you aren't paying for a service, you're the product. We know this is true for Facebook. We know this is true for lots of apps. So what do we do about that? And especially when we consider what just happened with the Give, Send, Go hack in Canada, which exposed a lot of people's names and addresses, which is now creating a security nightmare for them as well. How do we operate in this digital world? Now, at Peak Prosperity, we've covered aspects of how you maintain tight digital security back in your own homestead. We've talked about secure phones. Today, we have to talk about what I consider to be the most important aspects I know of, which is having secure email, secure messaging, and some other things like that. So in your communications, what do you do? So with us today to help us talk about all of this is Alain Guillier. He is the CEO of Secure. Alain, hey, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Martinson. Pleasure being here and happy to be able to answer any questions you may have.
Well, thanks. You and I have talked a bunch offline, and I just love the way you explain digital security to me, and I'm hoping we can do the same thing here with people who are listening. There's three big areas we're going to cover, which is the jurisdictional aspect of this. We'll tell people what that means. There's the larger infrastructure, and then there are the apps themselves. Let's start with the apps, because people know about those. So I use Signal. I use Telegram, because I think I'm safer using those than I would be, oh, I don't know, Instagram, Facebook Messenger, things like that. So A, is that true? Are they more secure? And B, do I have a false sense of security, or are they actually secure?
Well, here's a simple explanation. Imagine if you have a car, let's say a Prius, which is a nice little electric car, and you need to go to the mountain and the terrain is rough. Would you rather go with a Prius or a Land Rover Defender? I mean, I would choose a Defender. Because encryption is like that. Security, you can have off the shelf, just like a car with four wheels, but there's security and security. So you want to be the Land Rover Defender, not be in a Prius when you have, you know, rocky terrain, which is what the hackers do, right? They throw things at you and get in. So the idea is that, no, I mean, they're all supposedly have some security, which is very run-of-the-mill, plain vanilla, you know, open source. But no, they're not secure and they're certainly not private. And it starts with your phone number. So when you download these applications, you may notice like they always ask for your phone number because that's how supposedly to help you out, you can upload everything, synchronize with your contacts, etc. Well, that's the first thing a hacker would get into. And there's been, you know, a plethora of articles showing how you can get millions of phone numbers out there. Then go into your phone and, you know, basically data mine whatever you got or even throw some kind of malware. So no, so in the top, I'm going to rank, let's say, the best to the worst, if I may. This is, of course, our own opinion. So the best one outside of our own secure messenger, I would say a company called Trema, which is from Switzerland. They just decided to go open source. So I give them a notch down because when you do open source, it means that you open your code to all the developers to come in and supposedly improve the application. But also you have malicious people coming in. And I mean, would you give away the Coca-Cola formula? No, you wouldn't. So that's what's happening now. They're giving away their formula to their code. But Trema was really good. They're still hosted in Switzerland. I don't know if they're hosted on a big tech platform or not. It's decent. Then below that, you have everybody else that's pretty much at the same level. Telegram was supposed to be a really good, supposedly Russian, private, all of that. It's all nonsense. I can tell you I deal with global telecoms, and I hear stories from them when a government official is hacked using Telegram. I can give you an example in Latin America, where Telegram literally opened all the back door to try to see where the hack came from. So you're not safe or private on Telegram. People have this think that Telegram is really private. It's not. Then the most famous one, obviously, then you have Signal. The Signal, I'll tell you a little story how it became famous. You had WhatsApp, which is the bottom of the pile, which is Facebook. It's literally you are giving away every word you write, every word you speak, which has been documented. Where they come up, they had articles, and Facebook said, well, we're trying to improve your speech, the language recognition, etc. Whenever these big tech companies are caught in a lie, where suddenly somebody says, hey, you guys were recording our conversation with your developers in India, some call center was listening to me, then they go and they say, we're trying to improve the language recognition software, or we're trying to improve your user interface and your experience. Just like when Google say, we're trying to improve your experience. It's not your experience. They're basically trying to steal your data to resell it. And they make on average about $1,000 a month per user. That's a massive business. So
$1,000 a month?
At least on average. Yes. Whoa. Every month. Because, you know, data is stale after 30 days, right? And we do data every day. I'm going to go from here to, let's say, a bakery. I'm walking X amount of feet. I'm giving data. I stopped by the bakery, I went to the bank, and I shopped at so-and-so, and then I talked about this. So all that advertisement is coming to you. But just as much as the data miners use your data, they steal it, basically, because it's private proprietary. Normally in Switzerland, at least, your data is your own privacy, and it's proprietary to you. They sell it, but then the hackers can come in too, because it's easy to get in, and that's when trouble starts. So back in 2021, in January 2021, Facebook, which is WhatsApp, WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. Facebook said, from now on, you have to accept our terms of service or we're going to shut down your account on February 8th. And the terms were basically recognizing officially what Facebook has been doing for years. And they had all these congressional hearings and all that. You know, privacy and so forth. And essentially said, okay, if you tick this box, then we're not liable anymore. You know that we're stealing your data. It pretty much boils down to that. So there was a backlash, and because people don't like to have their account shut down, this is their, it's like an intravenous drug that WhatsApp for people. So then they said they were going to switch to Signal. And Signal was kind of an obscure application hosted on Amazon Web Service. And actually, funny enough, I think the founder of Signal now moved to WhatsApp or something like that. There was an article a month or two ago. And now Signal went closed source because now it was open source. But then they're like, no, we're not going to give access to anything. Just like Apple, right? Apple is a closed system. So what happened is Signal now can basically read everything. They can have software that data mines you. At some point, these companies need to make money. Like you said earlier, if you don't pay for the product, you are the product. The only one that you have to pay is Trema. I think it's like $3, but that's not enough to cover. And Trema has limitation in terms of the feature, but I respect them tremendously. From Switzerland, I believe we have a far superior product. So anything else, and you have to give your phone number too again. So when you give your phone number away, assume that hackers can get in. None of these are secure. I mean, secure, it's relative. You can have a 10-year-old create some kind of off-the-shelf security encryption. And also the big thing is how do we encrypt communication? It's from the device. When you use a device with very little processing power to create an encryption key, it's like using, you know, a 2-horsepower car, deux chevaux, to create like a Maserati. You can't, you know, as the engine is going to be weak, the power is going to be weak, it's going to run, but it's not going to do 200 miles an hour. So that's what encryption is about. It's about processing power. You're better off using $1 million of servers to encrypt your communication than your, even if it's a $2,000 smartphone, the chips are not strong enough to create strong encryption. That's the weakness basically in the whole thing. And people are happy using that because it's free. And companies are more than happy to give it to you because they make fortunes.
So your company, though, you're using, there's security at the app level, and it gets very technical, but it's around exactly how and where the encryption is happening. And as well, you're paying for really good hardware, right? Because Well, you know, you want people to have the best possible hardware for backup, redundancy, you know, uptime, and also security, I presume. So let's talk about that for just a bit, because when you described it to me before, I hadn't thought that through, that like I'm trying to do this powerful encryption on my phone, but the encryption for secure is happening in the servers that are located in Switzerland. And we'll get to why that's important in just a second. But so yes. Just your app, how does secure run that sets it apart here?
So the way our entire ecosystem works, our concept is that your communication never leaves our servers in Switzerland. And we'll talk about that why. We have multiple redundancy and geolocation within Switzerland. So you have a school of thought that says, I want to keep my encryption key and send it to Chris back and forth when I communicate. The problem with that is that you have to encrypt from your phone and it's not strong enough. Most people use what they call PGP security, which stands for pretty good privacy. Pretty good privacy sounds weak to me. It needs to be stellar privacy, but that's what it's called. And essentially you have man in the middle attack and you get hacked. And because those people say, I don't want the company to own my keys. I understand that because 99.99% of applications are US-based and they have US legal system that they're under. In our system, we basically spend millions in our own infrastructure. So we don't do anything hosted by any of the big tech or small tech or whatever tech you want to call it. So no Amazon, no Google Cloud, no Microsoft Azure Cloud. We don't even connect to them. We're not even compatible with them. We have our own server that's physical machine that we own physically in data centers in Switzerland. And when you communicate with me, let's say, or I send you a text, Chris, or a message, let's say if you have secure, it's easier. We're both in a little rack in Switzerland. But if you don't have secure messenger, I can now text you. That's a feature that's a thing being launched this week. I can text you and then you click on the text. And then we chat live, you're on a mobile browser, and then we're done, I can terminate the conversation. So what's amazing is that you don't even need, the recipient doesn't need the app. So our concept is this, how come like you're in, let's say you're in New York and I'm in Geneva, Switzerland, we're all in Switzerland because you have to connect to me. So when we both connect to the central location in Switzerland, we use what we call our Helix technology. And it's actually way more powerful than a VPN. We use the highest encryption grade of the transfer. And then we multiply that by thousands of times with multiple layers of encryption that are Helix formed because it's more strong. So basically it's like a super hard pipe. You connect to the server. Then when you're in the server, you're protected by multiple layers of security, which we're not going to get into right now. And by the way, our storage technology, so when you have your email or your data, whatever, each individual person is stored independently. We have what we call a virtual vault system, which protects you with multiple layers, each individual user. Whereas all of the other companies, they put millions of people in a database that may be secured, but once that database is breached, the millions of people get hacked. That's why you hear a lot about like millions of people got this, you know, 900 million email from Gmail got hacked or Yahoo, because they don't really care about your security. They want your data. That's the whole point. If you do virtual vaults, you can't mine the data either. So we connect to the central server and that's the difference. We don't send information over the internet. Nothing leaves the servers. That's what's cool. I can be in Japan and you can be in like Mexico City. We are all communicating in Switzerland. So that's kind of neat. Also, we don't require your phone number when you sign up for our service. That way, nobody knows that you're even using the service. That's what's amazing. Nobody knows. They can have your phone number, right? But they don't know if you're communicating with Secure or not.
Now, Elaine, as I mentioned in my intro, I'm a big privacy nut. And it's not because I have anything to hide. It's simply that, well, maybe I do. Let me be honest about this. I'm no longer clear that something I say today won't be made retroactively illegal, right? I have no way of knowing that. We just saw this in Canada. People gave money to the truckers totally legally, and then they retroactively made that some sort of a penalty and people's bank accounts got frozen. I'm shocked by this. I'm literally shocked by this. To me, that's one of the biggest wake-up calls that exists out there right now for me or anybody listening has got to be, listen, if I'm going to be doing things and it's perfectly legal for me to be doing them, I want to at least be sure that somebody isn't going to come back later and say, hey, your phone is going to snitch on you. Your past history is going to snitch on you because somebody in the future made a horrible decision to make something today retroactively illegal. I mean, am I overthinking this?
No, it's totally right. And of course, we're not political at Globex Data, which is our company, secured a product. We're Swiss. So if it's not illegal in Switzerland, you can do it because our jurisdiction is Switzerland only. Even though we're publicly traded in Canada and the US and all that, those entities are technically reselling companies and the data only stays in Switzerland. I created a company in Switzerland in 2007. By the way, we've never suffered a successful hack since the creation of the company. I used to be in the payment system too, so I was kind of interested what happened. And I wish I could create a payment system that circumvents the bank, but it's just, it's really like it's not possible at the end of the day, to put it down mildly. At the end of the day, you always go through some routing that goes through a bank. But basically, in Switzerland, your IP, your internet protocol, which is the IP address that you use to go to the internet, is your private property. Nobody is allowed to spy on it, take it, and snoop and all that. That's one of the many rules that FADP, the federal laws on digital and on privacy, et cetera, rules. So in Switzerland, nobody can come, let's say, and say, hey, I want to subpoena Chris Martinson because he said this or that. If it's not a penal crime in Switzerland, nobody is going to give that data because by law, we have to have a federal judge come to us and have that subpoena. And by law, we have to inform the accused person. So you have what we call the discovery process in legal term, which means at least you know you're being investigated. And then you'll have a choice, shut down your account and everybody goes poof. Because when you wipe your data, we wipe your data within 30 minutes, right? Because that's automatic. If you shut down your account, there's no trace and we delete everything down to bare metal. What we call bare metal means that there's no trace of it whatsoever. So if you did something and now retroactively, it was an illegal, it's like, I mean, come on, today it's illegal, tomorrow it's not. It's not like you killed anyone either. You know, you just gave money to some poor truckers who are fighting for their freedom. And I applaud them, by the way. I have huge admiration for the truckers and the farmers and the people. It's not just truckers. It's just unreal what's happening, but we won't get into it. I have a lot of respect. I have actually, funny enough, there's a trucker named Ken. I'm just going to name and hopefully he'll listen to it. He works for, I'm not going to say for who, but he's been a trucker for 35 years. Him, his family, everybody bought Secure and even bought shares in the company. That's how much they love the product. And you know, it's people like that. Like you want to have your beef, you want to have your vegetable, you want to have your toilet paper. Who do you think is delivering that? Do you think the politician in parliament is doing that? No, it's the trucker that needs to make a living, the poor guy, breaking his back in that crummy seat that they have and driving 20 hours a day. I mean, it's just unreal. But those people are when they send an email back and forth, and I've seen a trucker organization using Proton Mail, I have sad news for them. Proton Mail uses Amazon Web Service, and it's completely open source. And in fact, not too long ago, they gave away the log data of some environmental activists in France. And then the French police arrested the guy because, I don't know, whatever. So don't use Proton Mail if you want to have something private. It's not about hiding. We are not proponent of having criminals using our system. In fact, you need a credit card to use our system. Or if you're a telecom operator, they know the KYC, know your client. We have systems for that. We even spot a few spammers, which we shut down their account because they're trying to, you know, go crazy and send to 300 people their IDs and their email. People don't want to be spammed, but people do have the right to communicate with their coworkers, their friends, their people that have similar ideas, whether on the far left, the far right, or the middle. It's irrelevant. You have the right to free speech, to your ideas, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone You're not hurting anyone by expressing an opinion. That needs to be respected. And that's secure. That's what we protect, essentially. So, yeah, if you're just secure, nobody's going to read the email. Nobody can. And one last thing I should mention regarding private communication, Secure Mail, which is a product we just launched. So, if I may, you have Secure, which is a combo of email and messenger. You got Secure Messenger on its own. And now we're launching Secure Mail. So, if you use Secure Mail on the webmail, you can use what we call Secure Send. So let's say, Chris, you have Microsoft Office 365, or you use Google, right? Gmail or Yahoo, whatever, or any other mail. And I use Secure. If I send you an email, even from Secure, when that email leaves our server, it's like an open postcard. I think people don't understand that concept, is that you can have the best email when it leaves to go to somebody else. The recipient that has the ISP, the service provider, and Google reads everything automatically, obviously. That's how they make money with advertising. They can read everything, and that email can be hacked too. It's not just the ISP. The malicious people can intercept it and hack it. In fact, there was an article not long ago that happens with business. It goes to a business, and when the other person replies back, that email is manipulated by a hacker. So when you use Secure Send, this is what happens. I send you an email on Secure Send. I'm going to wire you $100,000 to buy a product or whatever. Then you get an email with a notification, the link. I can password protect that email. I can time limit. I can self-destruct it. I can see how many times you can read it even before you have no access. But basically, you click, you see my email, and you can use Secure Reply. And that means that whole communication stays in that server we discussed in Switzerland. And you don't need to register to Secure for that. You don't need a fancy password. So I recommend people using Secure Send for people who don't have Secure. But privacy is important. It's not about hiding anything. It's about keeping your privacy.
And it goes further than that. I now have hard evidence in my possession that there was somebody writing on Substack. You know, you subscribe to it. You know, you can subscribe for free for some of them. Some of them, it's $5 or $7 a month, whatever the terms are. And people had subscribed to this person who was writing about, let's say, a most recent pharmaceutical intervention, and that was their thing. They discovered that emails that were looping through, and I can't say the name out loud, a major email service, weren't getting through. They weren't reading them, but they just weren't passing them on. And they finally diagnosed that this one email service had decided they weren't going to pass these emails on to the recipients who had paid for that service. Right?
You know, I believe this 200%, because during President Trump's re-election campaign, I had some pretty fervent, let's just say, conservative people I knew, you know, in Pennsylvania, and they were telling me that because they use Microsoft, right? And she was saying, this is an older lady and her husband, and they have their little community. And they were, you know, big Republicans, obviously. And she was telling me that the email doesn't go through. It's only late at night that they let it through. Most of them doesn't. I'm like, come on, that's kind of a little bit odd. But you know what? It's true, because they're read automatically. And the argument there, this is where it crosses. This is the whole excuse of we're trying to improve your experience. The argument there, this is what Apple is doing with your iCloud now and all your photos. They say we want to scan for nudity and child pornography, etc., which I respect tremendously. That's a very noble gesture. But at the same time, the same technology basically reads everything you send and looks at every photo, every video. I mean, you name it. And that technology has existed for more than 10 years, because I was doing business in the Middle East with the largest telecom operator there. And they said, Google has a thing that you can read and watch and all that. Do you have that? I said, no, we don't have that kind of thing. You know, when you store your data in our secure suite, which is like a basically a virtual vault for your data, it's there and nobody sees it. Like, we can't go and snoop around and look at people's things. Well, that's what's happening now. This technology, with the excuse of we don't want child pornography, we don't want hate speech, etc., I totally respect and agree with that point of view. But at the same time, that's just an excuse, because 90% of the time they're snooping on all your communication. That's why your emails or that person's email are not going through. And that makes complete sense now that you're telling me. At first, I thought she was like a little bit exaggerating, but at the end of the day, I discovered many, many, many other people had the same issue with the big provider of email, free or otherwise, you know?
Yeah, well, this is the direction I think we're going. Like already I can tell you I have hard evidence because I collect this as well about when I do a Google search. I'm a researcher. I put stories together. I have a very, very, I'm almost like a steel mind for these things. So I remember very well that last year I searched this term and I got these results and now I'm not. And sometimes they're pushed to page two or three, but just this past week, it's a video that went out this past week. I showed people that Google returned a zero result for something where I'd screenshotted the results from last year and that this is something they just don't want people looking at. I can still find it on DuckDuckGo, et cetera. But my point here, Elaine, is that it feels like we're going towards an era where Google has decided they don't want me to see this search result, and it'll only be a matter of time before they'll helpfully take certain emails and not deliver them or push them into my spam folder, you know, or make sure I don't see them. There's a lot of mischief that could happen here. I just want to be sure that when I'm supposed to receive an email or I send one, that it goes where it's supposed to go when I send it. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not too much. And as you're telling me this, I'm thinking, we're going to move to a future where you're going to have, you know, I guess the majority of people using these services because they're just lulled to sleep, right? They got their social media, they have their drugs now that are legalized, and they don't care. You know, look at this, a lot of the new generation, they just want to have their entertainment and be their mind being lulled. And the powers that be, government, companies, etc., are doing a fine job at doing that. And then you're going to have a minority of people that they're just going to be forced into a corner. So technologies like voice encryption, just like the one we're launching in May, we're having secure voice where you can call someone without even having their phone number, same concept. And then we have a tunneling system. Nobody will know that you're even talking to someone. Secure Pro, which is an alternative to Zoom and things like that. You're going to have, at the very least on the email and messaging, you're going to have a bunch of people that are going to say, listen, I want to use that one or two services that I know are privacy conscious and are serious about it. I'll pay my $5-$10 a month, but at least I know that I have my freedom and my privacy. And businesses are going there too, because businesses have a different problem. The businesses, they have two things. The biggest problem they have is hackers. So all these big techs, including Microsoft that has hacked a few times by SolarWinds, the source code is stolen, etc. They're getting their emails hacked and it costs them tens of millions of dollars of business. And then you have businesses that have R&D, intellectual property. You have rogue governments. I don't need to give you the best summer hotspots. Like you got China, Iran, I hate to put Russia in it. But, you know, you got a couple of those, North Korea and all that. They're there to steal intellectual property of the U.S. citizen, corporations and government that spend trillions in R&D to save people's lives, to improve people's lives, to create machinery, to create military technology. They just grab emails and documentation and steal it and make a cheap copycat for themselves, which a lot of time they resell to the third party governments and organization. There's a theft of intellectual property happening in the US. I don't think people really realize that it's in I'd say hundreds of billions or $1 trillion that is going to these countries that are copycatting to make profit, to later have dictatorial relationship with half of the world. So it's much more complex than I can't write what I want. Businesses have that issue where their intellectual property is being siphoned out and lawsuits are happening. So they will need a service that you don't data mine. Because it's not just about security. The biggest thing is privacy, way more than security. There's always a genius that can come with a better security. But privacy is a core value. That's the core value that we have at Globex Data and Secure. Our DNA is privacy. Nothing can change that. It doesn't cost money for us to be private. It costs money for us to have the best security and technology and always try to be ahead. But privacy this is in our blood, right? So we're very adamant and fervent about that.
Well, fantastic. So we have the apps and the way that they're sort of constructed, and there's some things for people to be aware of there. The second piece was talking about the jurisdictional aspect, and you're in Switzerland because as of now, they have the best, as I understand it, privacy laws out there, and they take it very seriously. And by the way Switzerland's constructed politically, it literally requires a vote of the people to change that, which means nobody's going to sneak an executive order out and change that on you in the dark of night like happens in some other countries.
Yes.
Let's go to this last part, which is the infrastructure itself. You mentioned something that Signal, you said, is using AWS. That's Amazon Web Services. Of course, Amazon Web Services decided that they didn't like Parler as an offering at some point during the presidential election cycle. They turned off the switch on that, and the whole app went away and all of its users. What, talk to us about how that comes into play. And you mentioned while we were talking the other day about this thing called the Cloud Act of 2018. That comes into play. I think people need to know about this because it's part of living here.
So I'm going to talk about our infrastructure and then jurisdiction. So infrastructure, you can have, first of all, if you have a new app and you got a startup and the VC and investors come in, they're not going to let the kids spend $10, $20 million on some machines. They're going to say, go to Amazon and for $2,000 a month, you can rent servers. And then we want to make money from that data, whether they call it AI, improving, whatever, we already went over that. So these investors that are funding these new companies want to make money. That's all they care. And I don't blame them. And that's the name of the business. We have started this thing in 2007, where we started with our own, you know, rinky-dinky machine back then with a couple bucks that we had, and we built it into a multi-million dollar infrastructure. We just spent $1 million of machines that we're shipping to Switzerland to expand and to have more processing power. So having your own servers and machine and processor, et cetera, is already an amazing thing. And then having those in Switzerland is the ultimate. And I'll tell you why. In one of the data centers we're in, you have half of a floor occupied by Amazon and another floor occupied by Microsoft. It's not illegal for them to go to Switzerland and service their customer. It's nice. But the point is that if you use a US service or infrastructure, you are bound by the Cloud Act. I'll tell you what that is in a second. So we're in Switzerland. That's nice. And then somebody says, yeah, but Microsoft is there too. Yeah, but we have our own infrastructure. So here's where we are different. Besides that, we don't data mine and all that. When you have your own infrastructure, which is Swiss, because it's a Swiss company that manages that, Globex Data SA, a fully private company that is not publicly listed. I'm the majority shareholder and have a handful of other shareholders in it that's separate than our public company that's listed in the exchanges in the US and Canada. When you have that, it's fully private and nobody can touch it. Now, what is the Cloud Act? The Cloud Act is the cloud version of the Patriot Act. So after the unfortunate events of 9/11, there was the Patriot Act. I get it, I understand it. You had to kind of catch the bad guys because they were taking full advantage of the system. But then you have laws that go too far to the right, to the left, whatever. So that got improved. Then you had the Cybersecurity Act of 2015, which, by the way, President Obama strengthened. A lot of people think that the Democrats are more lenient. It has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. At the top of the power, it's all the same. Then you had the Cloud Act of 2018. And it stands for something. They put capital cloud and then capital A and then the CT. What it means is that if you have an infrastructure that's in China, this is why it was created. A lot of US data was in China, and you have that, you know, there's a rivalry, obviously, with that country, the two superpowers. So when your data is in China at AWS or Google, that data now can be subpoenaed in the US. Because after the Patriot Act, the Europeans realized that all the data in the world is belonging to the US. So they started to do the GDPR, you had data residency. Each country had its own laws. But at the end of the day, if you're using a US infrastructure, until 2018, it was still like German law for Germany. Now, if you use a US infrastructure, which is like 100% of the infrastructures in the world, you have to comply by the Cloud Act as well. So Basically, if you're being sued by unscrupulous people or by a corporation, or if a government entity is trying to control something, it happens, that data is subpoenaed and is duplicated right back. Doesn't even need to be in the US, but basically goes right back to the person wanting that data. Now, with our system, because we have never, ever hosted on a big tech platform, and we have never used a US citizen or resident green card holder to write one letter of code. Nobody in the US has touched our code, and we have no US infrastructure. Nobody can touch it except a Swiss federal judge. So that's what is important. Our infrastructure is fully independent, running extremely well. We don't data mine. It's in Switzerland, so it protects you. Because I could have my own servers in New York. That wouldn't help me because I'm on a US territory, right? But in Switzerland, it's a sovereign country. It's separate than the European Union. It's fully independent, and it's got the strictest data privacy laws in the world. So don't be fooled by people saying we're in Switzerland. Great. But if you use AWS or Microsoft Azure Cloud, it's irrelevant. It's pointless. You're just in Switzerland for maybe convenience purpose. And I've seen many Swiss companies moving slowly to Microsoft or AWS, unfortunately, because it is way cheaper. It's way cheaper. Why do you think Microsoft gives you infrastructure for free when you start an application? Because they own you from your, when you're a kid and you play with your PlayStation all the way to LinkedIn. Microsoft has everybody's data. And by the way, you know who else has everybody's data in the US, unfortunately? The Chinese government. There were a few articles that I was commenting on before on TV, and basically there's some studies. They have the entire medical data of all the Americans and other data by now. They go and they hack so many times, they own it, right? We don't know what purpose it's for, but definitely they own your data, your medical record. And that's scary. That's why you need to use an infrastructure that's independent and has privacy laws that are super strict. By the way, we have another product, if I may, called Secure Suite, S-E-K-U-R-S-U-I-T-E. It's a kind of like a data backup system. It's got a password manager and the email. It's for enterprises mostly. You have individuals that use it. So if you have like documents that you want to store, you go to Secure Suite. If not, you know, I use Secure, you go to secure.com and you can see, you can get an email and a messaging. And at least we're not going to go to anyone and say, he said this and he said that. We don't even bother. You pay us, that's all we want. Swiss people are super simple. You know, we like our privacy. We don't bother anyone. And if you pay money, you're going to be treated like royalty.
All right. Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm using Secure for both messaging and email. And as well, glad to hear about Suite. I'll take a look at that. What else is coming up this year? You mentioned voice coming. And yes. Is it still on the books? What about video? Anywhere on the landscape
yes.
for that?
So the video, we call it Secure Pro. That's coming, I'm hoping, in July of this year, 2022.
Nice.
And what I'm hoping to do, if I may, we're trying to potentially go and do an uplisting on NASDAQ this year. And if we get that kind of funding, we have massive plan for the Secure brand, one of them being Secure Identity. We haven't talked about that. So Secure Identity will be an identity theft protection kit with the email that you have in Secure, so Secure Mail. It's going to be bulletproof, hosted in Switzerland. So that's going to be an amazing thing. And we also plan to have something called Secure Home down the road, which would be your home security or, you know, a whole anything related to security. So Secure Voice, which is a voice encryption, is going to launch, I believe, by late May. Secure Pro, which is a video conferencing with voice, obviously, that's coming, I believe, in late July. So we're very excited about that. And we're just launching now business services. So if you have a business, your small business, whether you're a school or a medical clinic or a lawyer, you can migrate all your existing email and your domain like at mycompany.com. And now you can use Secure and have your personal company domain with us. That's brand new. So we have all sorts of people. You know, it's not just, you know, the fancy banker and all that. We have schools, we have regular people. Like, they just don't want their data mined. They need some privacy. That's the only thing you have left in the world, right? You get out of your home and your screenshot. I mean, Facebook had those technologies for the past 10 years. It's not different than China, right? It's the same thing. You just don't read about it so much, but they have face recognition everywhere you go. So The only thing that's left that's private is what you write, right? So you want that to, at the very least, we need to protect that. And when you're going to speak on the phone to someone, at least your conversation won't be recorded by WhatsApp.
Well, great. So, Elaine, all the time that we have for today, I know we could talk for hours because I love privacy. I love what you're doing. Full disclosure, big fan of your company. And I know that we have a special offer for anybody that's listening today if they want to try out your products. That is Peak 15, P-E-A-K 15. That gets people 15% off. And again, these are services you pay for because if you don't pay for them, you are the product. So with that Peak 15, will that apply to the things we've just talked about today?
Absolutely. And you get 12 months of 15% discount on any of our products.
Great. Great. Well, I'm really looking forward to that. I love promoting things that I think really count. And in this day and age, I like the security, but the way you've put it, I'm more about the privacy. That's what I care about the most here. And in this day and age, it makes more sense than ever. So
privacy is critical. It's more important than security. Security is a default. It's like having four wheels in a car.
Yeah.
But privacy is that turbo engine that makes it better.
Yeah.
So again, go to secure.com, S-E-K-U-R.com, put Peak 15, and you get your 15% discount. And you know, you'll enjoy it. If you buy a yearly account, you get 2 months for free. So if you combine both, you get kind of like 28% off, which is kind of nice. It's not expensive. So I think people who value their privacy will pay that $10 minus the 15%, obviously. It's worth it. It gives you 100 gigabytes of storage, more than any other company in the world for your email. And at least, you know, you can communicate with people who have secure and people who don't have secure. So anyway, thanks a lot for exposing our privacy views. And it was great exchanging ideas with you. I'm a big fan. By the way, when I was in Switzerland, I saw you on one of these other, like, you're pretty famous. So actually it was on, it was on Euronews. Anyway, they showed like tweets or whatever it was. I'm not sure. But I saw him like, oh, my God, that's Dr. Martinson. That's super great. So I was pumped up because I knew you. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Anyway. Oh, thanks for that. Thanks for that. Well, I just really think you've got a great product and I'm cheering your company on. And I really hope you go far with it. So I'll do what I can to help. And thanks so much for the special offer for our listeners here today. That's helpful and it's great and very generous. So thanks for that. Thanks for your time today. And I want to talk again in the future at some point, because obviously we could go further and deeper, but digital privacy and security are going to be just really big issues going forward, obviously. So thanks for what you're doing, Elaine. Thanks for your time today. And we'll do this again sometime.
Thank you, Chris. Happy to be here. Thanks, everyone, for watching.